Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brennan coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And it's good to be here this evening. Wanted to just let everyone know I wanted to apologize for not being able to do a video yesterday. It's been very rough for me the last few days, few weeks. It's been probably a lot longer than that, but it's been really rough for me lately, and yesterday just hit me really hard. I wasn't doing well at all yesterday. Not doing very well today, but I gotta keep pushing forward and keep serving the Lord. I can't just sit around and do nothing, so, you know, I need to continue to doing videos, and I need to continue forward and not let these things try to hold me down. But please pray for me. Pray for the ministry. Pray for this video. Pray that God will just use this for His glory and for His honor. So just sort of bear with me as I might kind of stumble and pause and stuff like that. So if you can please pray for me on that, pray for this video, and pray that God will take this video and just do some mighty things with this video. Amen. And so if you guys have any prayer requests or anything like that, feel free to mention them or send me a message on Facebook through Facebook Messenger, whatever the case might be. Feel free to let me know if you like. And I'll be praying for you as well. So if you have any prayer requests, just feel free to mention them. Tonight we're going to be talking about this is going to be the fifth part of the lust of the flesh. And so this is the lust of the flesh part 5. And we're going to be getting into envyings. We're going to be getting into murders, talking about murders, heresies, and envyings. And for the heresies, we're just going to kind of go through a couple of heretical teachings that are out there. I want to explain some things and kind of go through some scripture on that. And envyings, we're going to be talking a little bit about envyings and kind of going through some scripture on that, and then as well as murders and going through all that stuff. And so anyways, it's good to be here tonight. And I don't have any new announcements. There are some things I'm sort of praying on and kind of thinking about. But before I mention anything, there's just some things on my mind right now that I need to pray about and stuff like that, that I'd like to maybe just kind of put out there. So be praying for me on that, on those kind of things, pray that God will just give me the answers and just lead and guide me in those areas. So anyways, I don't have, other than that, there's really not a whole lot going on. Halloween's over, done with. Thanksgiving is coming up this month. Shockingly, it's already here. I might do a special broadcast on Thanksgiving. Just kind of going through some scripture, and just I'll share some things that I'm thankful for, and just give you some testimonies. So it won't be a normal type thing, a normal video. But it'll be just a Thanksgiving video, just to give thanks to God and the things, all that He has done, and just all the things that He's done in my life, and kind of just be a testimony, just share my testimony with you guys. So that won't be coming up for another couple weeks. That particular video will probably do on the week of Thanksgiving. I know people are probably going to be out of town and stuff, and people are traveling. So, you know, who's got time to watch a video? So we're going to it's going to be on that Sunday at 8 o'clock. So be looking out for that. I'm not even sure when Thanksgiving is. I wish I knew, but it's going to be the Sunday of that week. So anyways, other than that, there's not a whole lot going on this month. I guess with that said, we'll go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 17 through 20. Actually, it'd be 21. So 17 through 21. And it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So, let's see here. Last time, we talked about, what did we talk about? So we talked about, seditions, strife, and wrath. And so this time we're going to be talking about heresies, envyings, and murders. And so with that said, we'll go ahead and get into the first one here, and envyings. Okay, envyings. Envying is mentioned 5 times in your King James Bible. Now think about 5 for a second, okay? Think about 5. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How many times do we see I will do this or I will do that when it comes to Satan? You see that 5 times. And 5 is associated with death. Okay? Moses died in the fifth book of the Bible, which is Deuteronomy, and the fifth chapter is where you see the last time you see Adam mentioned. So you see that the 5 is usually associated with death. And what is sin as it, once sin has flourished, it brings about what? Death, right? So envying is mentioned 5 times in your King James Bible. But if you put an asterisk at the end, at the end of it, it's mentioned 7 times, okay? So 7 times is that word envying mentioned, okay? And if that's 7 times, that's in its entirety, okay? But if you took out the entirety, it's mentioned 5 times. Now, to envy is to have a desire of something or someone that a person has that you don't. Okay? So envying is similar, if not, it's the same as coveting. Okay, and the Bible speaks to this. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." You know what? Let's count that for a second. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass. Now, if you count the last thing, if you count the nor anything that is thy neighbor's, that's 7 things. Ooh, look at that. Envyings is mentioned 7 times in your King James Bible in its entirety. And if you count the number in that verse, there is 7 things mentioned. Amen. There's 7 things mentioned. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. Neither shall thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shall thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is in thy neighbor's. Now, that's 8 things mentioned in that verse. Does that mean there's a contradiction? No, it just means that there's something more to that. Amen. God speaketh once, yea, twice. Job chapter 5, verse 2. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. And Proverbs 3:21, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. You know, sometimes I think we tend to think, well, why does he have why is he getting away with things, or why does he have all this stuff? You know, what's going on there? How come that doesn't happen to me? Well, the Bible says not to envy, and don't envy the oppressor. Okay, and it says and choose none of his ways. So there's 2 things connected there. Don't envy him and don't oppress him. Amen. Or don't oppress him, and not oppress him. What am I saying? See, look. I'm just kind of going out tonight, but don't envy the oppressor and don't choose any of his ways. Amen. That's what I'm trying to say. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't envy sinners. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now think about this. And a tree, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Desired, envying. You envy wisdom, which, I mean, if you want wisdom, there's nothing wrong with wanting wisdom. It's the source of it where you got to be careful where you get it from. Get wisdom from the Word of God. Amen. Don't get it from some other source. Get it from the Word of God. Because that's where wisdom lies. Amen. Don't get it from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Leviticus, and by the way, that's how Satan will trip you up. Satan can use envy to trip you up. You know, I think that a lot of times we need to be careful, even as Christians, and this is something I struggle with. So if I don't preach it, if I'm not preaching to anyone that's watching this, I'm preaching to myself, okay? But I think we as Christians need to be careful about envying. Okay? I myself, along with everybody else, is susceptible to envying. We need to be careful about not envying what others have. We need to be careful about not envying and coveting after things that we shouldn't covet after. Now, Paul does mention about coveting the earnest and best gifts. There's nothing wrong with coveting spiritual gifts. Okay? But covetousness becomes wrong when you want something that someone else has that you don't have. Ooh! Okay? Hang on a second. Hang on a second. What is at the center or apex? What is at the apex of socialism? Envying. Covetousness. Envying is at the apex of socialism. Why? Because you're coveting something that is not yours that you wish you had. And you know what? Socialism is also guilty of stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Don't envy. Don't covet. Amen. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. James 5, 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, what does that, when you read that, what does that mean? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if you think about it, the Lord Jesus Christ is our all in all. He is everything that we need. Isn't it? Jesus is the one that can provide you with things such as a wife, a job, car, you name it. When a person has the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, they have no wants. Well, they do, but when they start to conform to the ways of the Lord, they have no wants because the only thing that the thing they have and they need of, they already have. What is needed of them and what they need, they have. So in other words, when born-again Christians, they have what they need, which is Christ. Amen? And Christ is all they need. Amen? That's what that means. Psalm 34:9. All fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, the hardest thing to do as Christians, is to be content with what we have. By envying, we get impatient, we get discontented and pressured, but God says that we need to be content with what we have. But most importantly, we need to be content with God in our lives because he is the one who gives and blesses us with good gifts. I'm going to tell you something. This is one of my struggles. One of my struggles is being content. And that's something I think the Lord is trying to teach me right now, is to be content with what I have. We all need to be content with what we have. Amen. Because Christ is really what we need. Amen. So I want to encourage you guys. By the grace of God, let's be content with what we have. Amen. That is much easier said than done, though. With that said, we'll go ahead and we'll dive into the second one. Murders. The word murders is mentioned 4 times in your King James Bible. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 through 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So we see that the source of murders is coming from man's heart. Because Jesus said that what comes forth of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Proceeds evil. It's not what enters your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. So your heart is tied to this. Okay? Keep that in mind. In Psalm 44, verse 21, shall not God searcheth this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our heart is wicked, and we need to have our heart cleansed. The question I have for you is your heart cleansed today? If not, you can get it cleansed. Amen. Now, let's see here. Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 to 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. It's interesting that one of the end time sins is murders. Which means that should tell you what the condition of man's hearts is in the last days. Jesus said that the murders come from the hearts of men. It comes out of the heart. Okay? So, if murdering is one of the end time sins, can you imagine what the state of man's heart is going to be? And we're starting to see that now with my generation being raised up wanting socialism. There's a hardness of heart. Amen. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. See, even hating your brother, God sees as murder. Okay, if you don't believe me, let's take a look at Scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 22. Ye have heard that it was said, by them of all time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 through 22, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that doeth endures to the end shall be saved. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 10, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You see, men's hearts are failing them for fear. In Luke chapter 12, verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 through 8, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's talking about the two coming witnesses that will testify and give their testimony on the earth and will preach the word of God. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Two more verses, and we'll move into the last section of this teaching. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 17, thou shalt not kill. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Amen. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill has been taken out of context, because the word kill there is talking about premeditated murder. When you premeditate on something, it means you planned it, you thought about it, and then you act upon it. That's premeditated murder, folks. That's what that means. Amen. Now, let's go down to our last section. Okay? Heresies. Now, heresies is mentioned three times in your King James Bible. Isn't that interesting? Three times. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. Three times, folks. Three times. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, which is part of our text verse for tonight, okay? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Okay? Heresies is a work of the flesh. By the way, you know why it's a work of the flesh? Because a heresy is a man-made doctrine that is not based off the Word of God. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." If you're not doing things of the spirit, you're doing it by your flesh. And heresies are not of the spirit, because heresies are contradictory to the Word of God. So therefore, if heresies are contradictory to the Word of God, then heresies are a work of the flesh. They are not the work of the Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost will not speak of himself, but will speak of only the Word of God. Amen? Now, what are some heresies? Well, number one, it's not an unknown one, but there is a heresy called the Shekinah glory. Now, I'm not going to get too in depth of this particular heresy, but essentially, let me just give you some key points here. Okay, number one, Shekinah is a feminine name, not masculine. Number two, it's not biblical. Number three, you can't find it anywhere in your Bible. Four, where is it found? The Shekinah glory is found in Jewish mysticism. Okay, if you want to know more about the Shekinah glory, I did a series called The Shekinah Glory Exposed. It's an 11-part series. I'm not going to go through exactly every jot and tittle of it, but I want you to go back and watch parts 1 through 11, and I will give you an idea of what Shekinah really is. Okay, but Shekinah is not God. Now, a lot of these churches will say that the Shekinah glory is God's manifested presence. You know, whether someone realizes it or not, what they're saying is that God is a female. And that's blasphemy. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, they shall call the child's name, his name." It does not say her name, it says his name. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Let me make a point on something, okay? If God was a female, don't you think that the wording should be goddess, not God? Because God is masculine. Goddess is feminine. So if God was a female, it really should say, "In the mystery of godliness, goddess was manifested." Goddess is feminine. But the scripture says God was manifested in the flesh. God is masculine. So let me tell you something, folks. God is not a female. God is not a female. God is a male. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Let me tell you something. If it was a female, it should say goddess the mother. It doesn't say goddess the mother. It says God the Father. A father shows you that it's male, not female. If you are a father, you are a man. If you are a mother, you are a female. You know, it's really sad. We have to clarify that, especially nowadays, because there's so much confusion amongst the genders. Man's mucked everything up. Created like 50 some odd million genders. It's not really 50 million. I'll tell you what, it seems like it's like 50 million, and it's really not. Listen, there's only two genders, male and female. That's it. It's simple. If you're a father, you're a male. If you're a mother, you're a female. That's it. End of story. If y'all don't like that, take that up with God, because God is the one who said it. Okay? God the Father. Okay? Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel. It does not say, and the goddess of Israel. It said, and the God of Israel. Grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Job chapter 9, verse 13. If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. Okay, do I have to keep emphasizing this? If God was a female, okay, the Bible wouldn't say God, but it would say goddess. Goddess is feminine. God is masculine. Okay, now that's all I'm going to say about that. But if you guys want to go check that out, go check out again. Okay, it's the Shekinah Glory Exposed series. Go check it out. Okay, I want to encourage you to go check that out, because there's a lot of information there I think will help you understand that particular heresy more in depth. The second heresy I want to touch on, the prosperity gospel. Okay, there are churches that say you need to get rich and healthy and all that. Okay, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. Okay, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. They'll say, well, Jesus wants you to be rich. And they'll say, well, if Jesus was here, he would fly in a 30 million jet plane. You know how ridiculous that sounds? You know, when Jesus was here, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus was poor. He was not rich. Okay, Jesus was not rich, so I don't know what those mega church people are talking about. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Jesus was not rich, but poor. We are not called to have treasures on earth, but in heaven. Okay, if you don't believe me, let's go read what Jesus said. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Well, they say, well, you have to prosper in this life. You have to have your best life now. Well, I'm sorry, Joel Osteen, but Jesus said that we'll have tribulation on this earth. Joel Osteen, people like Joel Osteen, preaches a prosperity gospel. He preaches a false gospel, a gospel that the apostles never taught or preached. Joel Osteen is a heretic. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and the gospel that he preaches is a damnable heresy from the pit of hell. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, "So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and in faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you thee a crown of life." Acts 14:22, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." One more and we'll get to the last one and we'll wrap up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." All right, the last heresy is this name it and claim it group, or also known as the law of attraction. Now, this is also in that series, the Shekinah Glory series. It deals with the witchcraft in the churches, okay? But this is also another heresy, okay? The name it and claim it group are those people that believe in speaking things into existence. Okay? Well, first of all, God showed Jesus who to heal. Okay? Jesus didn't just randomly just do things without the Father's knowing. Okay? The Father told Jesus, his son, what to do, and he did it. Okay? If you don't believe me, let's take a look at Scripture. Okay? In John chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." In John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Okay? The name it and claim it crew do things without consent of anybody, and they act as if God is some genie that they can conjure up to have God do whatever they want him to, and that's not how that works. And first of all, okay, speaking things into existence, that's nonsense. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus says, ask, and it should be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Jesus did not say, speak things into existence. He said, ask, and you shall receive. You know what? You have not because you ask not. It does not say that you have not because you didn't speak it into existence. It doesn't say that. It says that you have not because you ask not. So you see, the name and enclaimment group, it's pure witchcraft is what it is. Amen? It's witchcraft. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and the stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. What makes us think that God is on the side of heretics? God allows those people to preach what they preach, but God is not on their side. So if God is not on their side, these people can do nothing. Amen? 2 Corinthians, we're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 through 8. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you're not saved today, and you guys, we'll kind of mix this in with the invitation, okay? If you guys don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know for sure that today, if you were to die today, you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. And you know how you do it? It's that verse that we just read. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall confess with their mouth and believe in their heart shall be saved. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, this name and enclaimant group, you know, if they supposedly spoke things into existence, they can brag and boast about it because it's their works. Witchcraft is all about your works. But you know what? Bible Christianity is all about faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone else tell you that. Don't let anyone else... Okay, hang on. I screwed up again. I'm sorry. Not what I meant to say. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. Okay? We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. If anyone tells you otherwise... If they tell you the opposite of that, of what I just told you, that you're saved by, if people tell you that they're saved by works, they don't know their Bibles very well. You are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Amen. One more verse and we'll be done. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved today, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys, listen, it's very simple, okay? It's not complicated, and, you know, the gospel is very simple. Let's not complicate it. Let's not complicate it by adding our own works to it. We're saved by faith through grace, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Amen. Anyways, I think I'm going to probably cut it short tonight because, again, I'm not doing too well and, you know, everything is just kind of blur and, not blur, but just everything is just sort of, you know, I can't speak straight. Unfortunately, tonight, my mind's going 100 miles an hour everywhere, but I hope that you got something from this. I hope that this was a blessing to you. You know, I hope that, you know, you were blessed by it. I hope that, you know, you got something from it. And if you did, and if it changed your life, then praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, then let God be glorified. Amen. But I'm just not speaking straight tonight. And I apologize for that. I caught myself in a couple places and I apologize. My mind's just going everywhere, but I made a promise that I would do this video tonight, so I wanted to be sure to keep my promise on that, alright? But anyways, listen, I don't have anything else for you tonight. I hope this was a blessing to you. I just hope that maybe there might be some people that get saved as a result of this, but as well as that there might be people who might come back. And come back from a backslidden state. Amen. So hopefully that there might be people who might come back to Christ. Or people who will come to Christ as a result of this. Amen. So pray for me. Pray for what I'm going through. Pray for my ministry. Pray for our brothers and sisters where they need it. I'll tell you right now, there's brothers and sisters that need your prayer. So you pray for them. And you pray that God will just work a miracle in their lives. Amen. And hey, listen, our God is a miracle-working God. Amen? God still works miracles. Just, it's not really instantaneous like it was before. I mean, there might be some cases where that might be the case, but not all the time. But our God is still in the miracle working business, amen. And prayer, as hard as we might think that it's not the case, prayer does answer things. Amen. Prayer does answer things. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Amen. Please keep me in prayer, keep a ministry in prayer, keep this video in prayer, and pray that God will just take this video and take this screwed up man Brandon right here, just take this screwed up man and hopefully that God can get glory from that. Amen. But other than that, it's getting late. I gotta sign off for the night. God bless you guys. I love you. Pray for me. Pray for my ministry. Pray that I'll have other opportunities to do some more videos. But other than that, that's gonna be it for tonight. This is Brother Brandon. I'm signing off for the night. God bless you guys. Love you. And we'll see you next time. God bless you guys. See ya. Bye.